Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with hosts Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, here in Columbus, Ohio. And I'm your host for today's program, Peggy Hartshorn, Chairman of the Board of Heartbeat International that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world. And we have a particularly interesting and timely subject for you today, particularly as it relates to, I was thinking as I introduced myself, life-affirming pregnancy help, because that help can be life-affirming when we're talking about spacing pregnancies, getting pregnant, and what is the real message that our church gives to us in relation to this life-giving power that we have within the family to really join with the Lord in procreation, in really appreciating that gift that He has given us within families, and the fulfillment of ourselves as human persons. So it's really a wonderful opportunity to talk to an expert in that area, and a wonderful young woman who is just filled with a beautiful message for all of you today. Her name is Veronica Janchuk. Welcome, Veronica, to the program.
Good morning, Peggy. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for being with us. And Veronica is speaking to us from the office of FEM in New York City. However, she does come to Columbus frequently, and you may be able to hear her speaking, or you may have an opportunity to meet her in person and when she's here in Columbus. So we hope for more of those opportunities, Veronica.
Likewise.
Yes.
It's always a joy to be able to visit.
Well, thank you. And Veronica has been working for FEM Health for 3.5 years now. I'm going to have you define FEM Health in a couple minutes, Veronica. But for 6.5 years, she really was working in New York City on her education and training in the philosophy of the human person, a degree in philosophy of the human person, which, wow, from New York University, that sounds like a phenomenal degree. I wish I would have had many years to study the philosophy of the human person. And at New York University, you really encountered a wonderful group for students that was mentored by the Dominicans there. So you had a wonderful grounding in the combination of truth and reason that, of course, is the hallmark of our faith. So in 2013, you started interning for FEM Health, and in 2014, you were offered a position. What a joy to be able to actually work full time in something that you feel so strongly about. Yeah. So, yeah, we're so happy that you've joined with us today, and you work with FEM and also with World Youth Alliance as the director of their USA activities. Tell us just a little bit about World Youth Alliance and tell us about FEM Health.
Sure. So the World Youth Alliance is a nonprofit organization that was founded in 1999 at the United Nations when the Clinton administration sent in a youth caucus of 32 young people who demanded, as representative of all of the world's young people, abortion as a fundamental human right, the introduction of sexual rights to children as young as 10, and the deletion of parental rights. And our founder, Anna Halpin, was present at this conference, disagreed very much with these claims, and came into the UN the next day with bright pink flyers that called for the provision of more fundamental needs, as well as this call that the person should not be reduced to his or her sexual faculties in this way, that the human worth has nothing really to do in this way with what kind of sexual rights we provide him or her. And so delegates from developing countries asked Anna to form a permanent presence at the UN for the voices of young people. And so 18 years later, we continue to advocate for the person, for the dignity of the person in advocacy and education-related projects around the world. And FEM, which is an acronym for fertility education and medical management is a concrete project that arose out of our work at the UN as a concrete response to this tremendous focus, especially in the West, on abortion and on the provision of hormonal contraception, both for family planning, but also even more widely, in some ways, as a provision of a form of health care for women and for their symptoms of hormonal abnormality. And so FEMIS is a clinical model. We educate women about the link between their hormonal activity and their health. We give women a free iPhone app. The Android app is forthcoming. It helps them chart changes to their bodies so that they can be aware of whether or not they're healthy. And then finally, we train physicians in a set of medical management protocols that allows doctors to precisely diagnose and to treat the underlying causes of hormonal abnormalities in women without suppressing that hormonal activity. So for girls as young as puberty through women who are entering premenopause and menopause, in our first entirely FEMRUN Health Center was opened and is operating now in Columbus.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot to digest. Let's unpack that a little bit, Anna. I should say, Veronica. I'm speaking about Anna Halpin, your founder, whom I also know. So what you're saying here, Veronica, is we have a really avant-garde, you might say, medical model right here in Columbus, Ohio, in the FEM Health Clinic, which we can talk about a little more as we proceed, that actually is an outgrowth of the realization that that hormonal contraception and abortion are being promoted all over the world now. Starting most actively, of course, in the Clinton administration, as you mentioned, as a healthy thing for women, as somehow a part of a required regimen for female health. Women should be on hormonal contraception, and they should have ready access to abortion. And as I believe you said, this kind of education in what they call reproductive health, even as early as age 10, It's astounding that this kind of a concept has been accepted pretty much as this is the kind of the anti-gospel, we would say, for women's health being promoted around the world. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that such a young woman, Anna Halpin, 18 years ago, as a young woman in her 20s, really realized the need for such an alternative as FEM Health, and of course the World Youth Alliance, which was founded to promote that. So your message is that putting people on artificial hormones is not essential for women's health. It's not essential for spacing pregnancies. It's not essential for treating so many of the conditions that women actually present when they come into a physician's office. What are some of the problems, female health problems, that are sometimes just routinely, or I should say most of the times, routinely treated by simply putting women on a hormonal contraceptive like the pill? What are kinds of the things we're talking about? Because some of our listeners may have faced this situation or are facing it right now.
Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of symptoms that have been really through kind of pop culture and the move, this widespread move to prescribe contraception, that have been sort of normalized. And really, they're indicators of pretty immense, sometimes hormonal abnormality. So here we're talking about symptoms such as acne, facial hair, weight gain or weight loss, and then where there's weight gain, maybe weight that is also then difficult to lose for women. Things like very painful cycles, very irregular cycles. We would say that a healthy cycle falls within a 24 to 36 day range. And so then if women see two consecutive abnormal cycles or three abnormal cycles over the course of a year, they're showing indicators of an abnormality we would want to address medically. And then also in context of fertility, of course, patterns of miscarriage, and then an inability to conceive for those who are trying to achieve pregnancy. And then also something many doctors won't always talk about is the relationship between the reproductive system and other systems in the body. And so sometimes women will be showing symptoms of abnormality, but that's caused by something like insulin resistance or some kind of thyroid condition, genetic condition, an autoimmune disorder. In the female body, in the male body also, but especially in the female body, because it is so delicate, all of these different systems are so integrated that where you disrupt one piece of it, you really disrupt everything else. And then in addition to these symptoms that I mentioned, of course, we have sort of general emotional symptoms, also anxiety, depression, mood swings. All of it has to do in one form or another with the hormonal activity in a woman's body.
And once medically that the normal hormone cycles that women associate with the ups and downs of their monthly cycle, once those are operating normally, you're saying, that affects all other areas of women's health.
Yes.
Yes, they're all connected. I'm not certified, by the way. One of the things that FEM does is offers a certification program, which we can talk about a little bit later. I've sat in on many of your trainings, and it's amazing to me. I've forgotten the number of actual hormones that you talk about in your training. How many hormones are we talking about that have to be operating within normal ranges within the female body in order for us to be feeling good and carrying out our roles and responsibilities and the gifts that God's provided for us in a healthy way? How many actual hormones? We're not just talking about estrogen and progesterone, which some people think of as the primary female hormones. How many hormones are we talking about that need to be functioning well?
Mm-hmm. So our When women learn how to chart this activity, to track it day to day, they learn to observe the activity of four of the primary hormones, and any kind of imbalance in those four primary hormones is going to reflect an underlying imbalance in any of approximately a dozen hormones that are necessary to keep a woman's cycle operating in a healthy way, and then also potentially more deeply, depending on the condition, we're looking at additional hormones in addition to those 12 that are our sort of standard hormonal profile to determine the general health status for a woman.
And so to really to get into this, either through tracking these on their own through an app, you say you have the Android app about ready to be unveiled. You do have the iPhone app. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
People could go to femhealth.org. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Femhealth.org. All right. Before we go further, I want to give that out again and remind our guests that we're talking to Veronica Janchuk. She is a staff person for FEM based in New York City, FEM and World Youth Alliance, which is a wonderful and relatively new outreach around the world, which is medically based now with FEM to truly provide an alternative to the hormone-based definition of what female health. Well, actually, you are hormone-based, I should say, the contraceptive and abortion-based definition of women's reproductive health, which is not reproductive at all and is not healthy at all either. So we truly now have an alternative with femhealth.org. So it's very exciting, and exciting that really comprehensive clinic is located in Columbus, Ohio. And I know, having visited the clinic myself, that you start with really these kinds of health assessment and hormone testing and take it from there. So it's an exciting opportunity. Well, before we get into even more of that, Veronica, I'd like for you to speak for a few minutes about the real basis of the World Youth Alliance and a FEM health approach. You say it's founded on what it truly means to be human. And of course, that's your educational background too, the philosophy of the human person. What do we mean by a true, and for us as Catholics, faith-based approach to the human person?
Mm-hmm. This was one of, you could say, the great loves of St. John Paul the second, was a really thorough understanding of the human person. And what we mean by that is that the person in his existence has a very particular structure, and that structure can be known, and it can be lived by. So in some ways, femme is a kind of very explicit example of that, that the female body has a very specific structure to it with regards to its hormonal activity, and that to have all of those hormones in order is a sort of prerequisite need for a woman to be fully healthy. In the same way, the entire human person in all of these different dimensions has a structure to him that can be known and that can be lived by, and that includes the human intellect and the human will, which are these two beautiful faculties that God has given the person to know and to choose in accord with reality. And then, of course, also the human heart, which St. John Paul II wrote about it in a number of different ways, both explicitly and inexplicitly in his works. But really, there's this dimension to the person which contains both our emotional life, but also even more deeply our sort of contemplative life and the presence of God within us, that can be ordered to its particular end, and that only when we know all of these different components to our being well, only when we know what their ultimate purpose is, where it lies, can we fully live out our own humanity. And so one of the primary concepts that we discuss at the World Youth Alliance, and a concept that even my own understanding of has been deepened over the past 3.5 years, is the concept of self-gift. This concept that when someone is born into the world, he or she cannot function, cannot develop, cannot flourish without being received and tenderly loved, you could say, by his or her parents or caregivers. And then as that person grows, the only way that he can fully realize his own person and his own potential is in a sort of complete self-gift to others around him, and then also, of course, within the Catholic tradition, ultimately, to God, who in himself is a communion of three persons who give to each other. And it's this understanding of the sort of internal dynamism, you could say, of the person, this interiority that we all have, but which is completely unique in every person, that then lays the foundation for talking about also human sexuality and human reproductive health in a particular way. That sort of one way that two partners, two spouses can give to each other is ensuring, for example, in the case of femme, the full and complete health of a woman, that it is a gift on behalf of a husband to his wife to ensure that her body is fully healthy and to not sort of force her to bear the brunt of the potential health consequences of something like hormonal contraception, and that there's a sort of cooperation between two people, a relationship between two people that unfolds in a particular way, that has a particular depth to it, that acquires a very particular and very special meaning. So that's the sort of understanding of the person with which we begin in our work, and that then translates into different very concrete legal policies that we advocate at the UN, and then, of course, into programs and clinical models like FEMS.
That is so deep and so powerful. You've given a very good summary, and yet I'm thinking our audience is probably thinking, oh my gosh, did I hear what did she say there? Because it is so deep. But it's also the concept on which we have planned our program, the Family Sanctuary. So I hope our listeners will keep listening and listen to other programs in our archives. Anna Halpin has the founder of FEM, has done some programs. Pia De Seleni has done programs for us on this concept of the what it really means to be human. You mentioned the unity of the reason, the will, and the heart, the profound concept of self-gift, and that we must be received and loved by other persons, and then in turn give ourselves fully and freely. to others, and particularly to God. It's a beautiful, beautiful concept. And but it demands, as you say, particularly for women in our sexuality, a healthy reproductive system and a healthy person, of course, in all aspects. So I am just so thankful that the Femme Clinic is here in Columbus. And again, that is femhealth.org. And their phone number also is 614-360-9995. And I'm happy to say that thanks to your visits and Anna's and investigation of the program, we're happy to say that the diocese has given its blessing to FEM, and hopefully people in our listening audience will be hearing more about what you do. Well, let's talk, Veronica, about some of the other specific ways that you and World Youth Alliance and FEM are providing practical opportunities for people to connect with what you're doing. We have about 6 minutes still left in our program. I know we've talked about the app, and they can find, women can find out, families can find out about this app, again, on femhealth.org, where they can actually track, you can track your own hormonal cycle and say, am I within the parameters of normal, or do I need some help here? And then you also have the Femme Health Clinic here in Columbus, Ohio. And I know actually also on your website, there is some help available for these physical medical issues through a medical director that's available also online. And then you mentioned to me you also have some other opportunities besides the App and Femme Clinic. Can you tell us some of those other opportunities?
Sure. So the as maybe can be guessed by the name, the World Youth Alliance. Our focus at the World Youth Alliance is on youth. And for us, the definition of youth is a person between the ages of 10 and 30. And so where the Femme Clinic is open to women sort of all ages who might have some kind of reproductive health care needs, so really puberty through menopause or so. The focus of the World Youth Alliance is on young people between the ages of 10 and 30. And so the opportunities for involvement that I wanted to highlight are a few. Every summer, first of all, we host an international summer high school camp drawing young people from all around the world to join us in New York, usually, or somewhere on the East Coast, for about a week of formation in these different ideas. What is the dignity of the human person? What is freedom? Freedom, of course, is not the ability to do whatever we wish, but to always choose the good in accord with our nature. Human solidarity, so the ways in which people can gather together to start movements for the good, to start change the culture for the good. And then, of course, the legal component of all that we do on questions of surrogacy, family planning and sustainable development, among other issues at the United Nations. So anyone who's listening who has a high schooler, student, or friend, or nephew, niece, cousin, can feel free to extend an invite for them to check out the World Youth Alliance's website and information about our summer camp.
What is that website, Veronica?
That it's going to be WYA for World Youth Alliance, WYA.net.
.net, okay.
And the International Summer Camp is listed among our programs. And then the other big thing that we offer then is an opportunity for university students and young adults in different places to become engaged, either by starting university chapters or chapters for their city or their state. And those chapters then gather together young people who want to study these ideas and come to see how absolutely powerful ideas are to the development of policy and to the development of a society. And then they get involved with different activities, service activities, volunteer opportunities, and then other projects that we offer to help start to build up a culture of life, a culture that respects the dignity of the human person. And so any young person or anybody who knows a young person who may be interested in that kind of work should just check out our website or shoot us an email at northamerica@wya.net and just express interest. Say they're listening in Ohio, they want to know more about how to start a chapter at the university or in the greater Columbus area or an Ohio chapter, and we would love to work with them to bring these ideas to the area by doing some training. and other kinds of opportunities to get engaged.
So at this point, I don't think you have a chapter at Ohio State, right? That's a big need.
Yes.
Absolutely.
One of the reasons I'm traveling to Columbus later this month is to try to find someone at Ohio State.
So there maybe there's somebody at Ohio State listening right now.
Yes.
Who already perhaps has been trained in some of these ideas. You know, we have the John Paul II generation. many young people who had their formation during the reign of John Paul II as our Holy Father. So there may be someone listening now. So it's North America at WYA.net to email you, right?
Yes.
That's good.
Great.
That's great. And so we've only got about another minute, Veronica. I know, too, you also have, FEM has a certified training. Is that correct, too? Okay, so that's something someone could find out about at FEMHealth.org, or would that be on World Youth Alliance?
Nope. So that would all be on the FEM website.
Okay.
And there are sort of two tracks. The first is for any woman who wants to learn how to understand the link between this hormonal activity and her health, FEM offers education classes that can be signed up for on our website or by calling the health center. And then in addition to that, we also train women to be certified FEM teachers.
Wow.
And then they can go out and teach others within their community. And information about that would be found also on our website.
Well, thank you so much, Veronica. You've just filled us with inspiration as well as practical information. Our guest today has been Veronica Janchuk, who works for FEM Health, FEMHealth.org, and the World Youth Alliance. And thank you so much for being with us. And you're listening to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, with archives at stgabrielradio.com and streaming live also on stgabrielradio.com. Our program is broadcast at 12:30 every Monday and 2 o'clock on Sundays. And I'm your host for today, Peggy Hartshorn. Please join us again to strengthen our families and make them sanctuaries of life, as God intended.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Marianne Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.